Welcome to 3DBPM's Pulse Podcast. This is where we discuss the latest and most advanced, fascinating, powerful, and disruptive additive manufacturing technologies with the people that make them happen. I am your host, Davide Scher, CEO and co-founder of 3DBPM, the leading media, marketing, and market research firm for the ever-changing world of AM. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the 3DBPM Pulse Podcast. This is where we get to speak with the additive manufacturing industry's innovators and decision makers about their technology and the businesses they've built. And in this particular case, built is the perfect word. Our guest for today is Henrik Lund-Nielsen, founder and general manager of Cobot International. Cobot is a globally leading company within the 3D construction printing segment. The company has been constantly and deservedly making headlines in both the construction and 3D printing press. Our research team at 3DBPM has been looking at the construction 3D printing market since it began to form almost a decade ago. Only a handful of startups were present then, and today there are nearly 100 companies listed in our 3DBPM Index Global Directory. As in many young, high-potential market segments, sometimes operators make bigger claims than they are able to deliver. Cobot printers, on the other hand, have already completed many of the most high-profile 3D construction projects. Among others, they've 3D printed the BOD, the first 3D printed building in Europe in 2017. They've also completed Europe's first two- and three-story buildings, when most people still thought it would be impossible to 3D print a multi-story house. In 2019, Cobot also printed the world's first 3D printed wind turbine tower for GE Renewables. Which is why we asked Mr. Lund-Nielsen to join us and help us really understand this segment. For 2015 to 2017, as the project manager for a government-supported project, Mr. Lund-Nielsen led a three-year research project into the global state-of-the-art of 3D construction. Prior to founding Cobot, he worked with conventional 3D printing for several years, and prior to that, he was the CEO of a Danish group with 1,000 employees and 14 daughter companies. He has a master in economics from Denmark and an MBA from the US. He is a frequent speaker on 3D printing and 3D construction printing. In 2020, he was recognized as one of the 10 most influential executives within the entire AM industry. So hello, Henrik, and thank you for taking the time for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start from the foundation. When you started the company, what convinced you that the construction 3D printing market had real potential to grow into a business?
Well, there was actually three deciding factors or determining factors. Number one was that we could see there was a huge interest for these initial trials that was made for applying 3D printing in construction. So the market more or less was very, very interested in the technology. Secondly, the technology that we saw during our 3 years research was not really impressive. We were 3D printing experts, and when we evaluated the technology being applied to the construction application, we were not impressed. And we thought, hang on, what happens if somebody that really mastered this technology go in and develop some much, much better printers? Where could then this lead to? And thirdly, we already saw at that time that some of the large construction companies, Bouygues from France, Vinci from France, Skanska from Sweden, Perry from Germany, and so on, they had begun investing in either startups or their own ventures into 3D construction printing. So I thought, I wasn't an expert on construction at that time, but I thought these guys, they know the industry and they strongly believe in it, although they don't understand the technology completely and they don't understand the potential of the technology. Nonetheless, they believe so much in it that they would invest in it. And so I said, then I also believe in it.
I see. So my next question was going to be on the most important construction project that you've completed, but let's keep that for the end. And maybe you can help us understand more clearly, like, what your business consists of.
Yeah. So we are a technology provider. We sell the printers and the related concrete equipment, so pumps and mixers. We don't execute projects as such. The only time when we, let's say, take it on upon ourselves to execute projects is to prove something, like when we 3D printed the first building in Europe, or like when we 3D printed the first windmill tower for GE. So our role is really to be a technology supplier We cooperate with our customers who's then executing the projects.
So in a way, this is very similar to some companies developing new technologies in the more conventional 3D printing industry. You know, they need to show, you know, that the technology works on new applications, and they sell the machines to people who use it to provide services. What and in the conventional additive, materials are the most important part, sometimes underestimated. Is that so for you? And can you explain us how that is?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, when we were doing traditional conventional 3D printing, we had a gypsum printer from 3D Systems. And one thing was that it was terribly expensive to buy, but every print was so expensive that we had to limit how much we printed with it.
Sure.
And so I had that at the back of my mind, and we said from the beginning, we are going to be open source. We're not going to force anybody to buy our materials in order to have the printers. That was a very known business model for many years in the normal conventional 3D construction printing industry, that you had to buy both, so tie the things together. But I believe that if we had to reinvent this industry and really disrupt it, we would need the help of as many people as possible, material suppliers, et cetera, et cetera. So there's no point in actually locking in our customers with certain materials. So we've always been open source for materials. Now, one of these partnerships we have then made with CMEX have actually led to that we are now capable of producing 3D printable concrete anywhere in the world based on 99% locally sourced materials, cement, sand, and gravel, and only 1% magic mix coming from us and CMEX, which makes it 3D printable. That way, we can actually compete with the cost of traditional concrete. And concrete is by far the most economic construction material we know of any material. That's why we use it so much. Now we can give it shape, we can do it automatically, save labor, and we still have the low material price. So that's really a winning combination.
Yeah, that really sounds like a revolution, and like a something that can help the industry scale into something, you know, bigger beyond the initial startup phase.
And that is 100% correct, because you can say when you do a single one-off, it doesn't really matter that the mortar, because sure, that is what everybody else is printing with, is mortars, that the mortars are 10 times more expensive. So typically you would pay for a ton of material, you might pay like 400 or 500 euro. If you only use 10 ton, it's 4,000 or 5,000 euros. 10 ton is a small project, right?
Sure.
Then it doesn't matter. But if you have to print, let's say, 100 tons, and you have to do it 100 times, then it's 40,000-50,000 euros each time. Whereas with our solution, it will be a tenth of that, so 4,000 to 5,000 for every building. So we have completed so far 3 buildings with this new solution, and none of the building have cost more than 2,000 euros in material cost.
That's incredible. And honestly, it's a lot like the traditional industry, because, you know, prototypes, it doesn't matter how much it costs, but when you go into production, then
it's a different ballgame.
Absolutely. So in this sense, you know, as the industry evolves beyond a one-off into, you know, production scale, which customers are you targeting with Cobod? Which companies do you think can benefit the most from implementing your construction 3D printing technologies?
Actually, it's a wide range of customers. I know that the focus so far has been on residential housing and even only one-story residential housing, but that is because this is what the technology has been capable of doing.
Right.
In fact, I think that the one-story residential housing is not even the most attractive application for the 3D construction printing technology. I think we will see other applications, infrastructure like windmills and so on, but also warehouses, schools, offices, etc., where actually the competitiveness of the technology will be even higher. What we are targeting is basically a broad range, from construction companies over real estate developers to cement and concrete manufacturers, to large-scale applicators of the technology. It could be engineering, procurement, contracting customers, windmill manufacturers, as we said. So basically a very wide range of materials, because it is a disruptive technology. So different people are attacking it and trying to disrupt the industry from different angles. So we don't have one customer type, we have many.
Absolutely. And how do you, in practice, how do they, how do these companies tend to benefit? I mean, is introducing this technology, does it require high initial investments, and how are these investments covered?
Recouped. Basically, yes. I'm not going to say it's not expensive or not significant what you have to invest to get started. It's typical in the range of $500,000 or euros or $600,000. So it's not insignificant, and therefore people have to be very much aware of how are they going to make money and when. And what we try to tell people is there's still so much to learn that if you want to have your money recouped in 1 year, you can forget it. The industry has not matured enough to do that. But what we are aiming with our technology is low cost. I know the technology also gives the possibility to give freeform shaping and so on. And that also has a market, but in my opinion, 80% of the market is driven by cost. So we we are very focused on how we save costs for our customers, and we do that by saving on labor time, by finishing the projects faster, and by having low cost materials to print with.
Absolutely. How has the response been from your current customers, but also from the large groups that are starting now to look at this technology?
Well, there's a lot of answers to what you just said. Well, the response has been tremendous. We actually sprinting around trying to catch up with all the interest, because we do want to offer a good customer service and answer all emails we are getting, et cetera, et cetera. So we doubled in 20. We more than tripled here in 21. So growth is very, very fast. One good thing we see is that 1/3 of our business is from repeat customers. And that's a clear indication that this is not a toy or a gimmick or a gadget that you're buying, but people are buying it because it makes sense and they keep on buying them. So that's extremely positive. One other thing we've seen is that after that period, 15 to 17, where we saw the hype, there was a lot of hype about and a lot of false claims about 3D printed houses in 24 hours for $4,000 and nonsense like that, which was not true for any of the projects. There was also, there was a huge interest, but then that interest, especially for the more serious companies, sort of cooled off because they realized this was all BS. It was not true.
Right.
So they got very disappointed and sort of left the technology, say, well, the technology is just, it's playing around. They're claiming everything that they cannot do. But what we're seeing now is really an uptake again, a really serious uptake again, which has been, I would say, dominant the last year. And what we see is more and more of the really large players are moving in. So larger construction companies, larger concrete companies, larger cement manufacturers, they're really coming in strong now, and they realized this technology is going to be a part of the future of construction. Whether it will take 10% of the market, 20% of the market, 30% of the market, nobody knows, but it will take a non-insignificant share of the market. And people are starting to realize that now.
Absolutely. And so what do you think is different or particularly advantageous of Cobot technology, and how does it work? And, why do you think, we know for a fact, because you actually released the data, that you've built the most houses, your machines were used to build the most houses worldwide. Why is that, do you think?
And we have the most customers worldwide, and we sell the most printers also. Yes, there are several reasons for that. One of them is, of course, that this is a tested and tried product, right? It's a product we launched in 19 for the first time, delivered the first time in 19, and that means that this is not a prototype. This is regular production. We're shooting them off several every month. So this is a high quality product that has been manufactured to a certain standard, etc. You can come visit us, see our production, etc. So I would say reliability of us as a supplier is a huge thing. Secondly, and then we speak about the product advantages. It's the fastest printer in the world. And thirdly, it's modular, so you can build it to any size. You don't have the size restrictions that many other have. And as you also pointed out, we can go to three stories in the height. And then more and more, we see that this ability to print with low-cost material, low-cost concrete, is really taking on. So approximately 80%, 70 to 80% of our orders now are with that solution. And if you go back, let's say, from 1 year ago and more than the year before, it was 0%, right? Because we hadn't developed it. So this is really a significant part of our growth is fueled by this concrete solution by which we can print the local available materials to a very low cost. Fantastic. And ordinary concrete, so that people know, not a funny mortar that you have to get supplied from some centrally located factory and shipped and all that nonsense.
I see. And one thing you mentioned before, you have repeat customers. Is this companies that buy another printer after they bought one?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That is very interesting. And so I'd like to put myself, imagine what it's like to buy a printer from you. Like, how does it work? Like, a company comes to you, and then how do they go from there to starting their projects?
Well, that's a fair question. Most of them have something, have an idea about what they want to do already, right? Mm-hmm. And typically in the pre-sales, we discuss with them how they could solve that issue that they would like to do, you know, whether it's a building or another structure, and if it's a building, how the building should be made and so on. We all assist, we assist with that for free and so on. So once that is clear, and it's clear what type of printer, size of printer that they want to have, etc., we also make sure that we have aligned expectations, that they don't think that, you know, we come, we train them for a week, and then it's like a car the next morning, that they just, every time they go out to the car, it works and it drives for 24 hours a day and so on, that they do understand that they have to go through a learning curve also themselves. I mean, we can give them the basis level of understanding needing to master the technology, but from there on to really master it well, There is at least a year of learning that they have to go through and have to adjust in various ways, because also printing conditions are not the same all over the world, right? So if you are in the Middle East, it's very dry, sure. It's very hot. If you're up here where we are, it's very cold, it's humid. So completely different conditions. So and the different condition means different challenges that you have to adjust to. So it's not like just because that we have sold printers in the Middle East that we necessarily are experts in printing in the Nordics. Now we happen to also sell printers there and all over the world. So by now we know the different weather conditions and humidity conditions and so on. But you know, you have to take that into account, that the surrounding conditions are very different from site to site, and people have to get used to how to deal with that.
I mean, it's like people. With new technologies, sometimes they hesitate because they don't see their immediate returns, and then when they decide that they see them, it's too late, right? They need to get ahead of the competition.
That's why we see two typical customer groups in terms of mentality, I would say. One is the larger companies that have the resources to think long term. They know, they realize that long term, this technology is going to have a non-insignificant market share with construction. So they might as well get on with it. But they have the resources to cope with that it doesn't make a profit for a year or two. The other type we see is the very innovative, entrepreneurial-minded companies that says, this is the future. I want to be part of the future. I have to accept, you know, that the first year I'm not making money and so on. But nonetheless, the upside is so big that we want to go for it.
Absolutely.
So those are more the disruptors, right? That are then also very innovative, typically.
Absolutely. So I remember the project, the two story and the three story houses. I mean, those were completed with actually very beautiful finishes. But
one of them won a design award in Germany, huh?
but is finishing a 3D printed house easier or harder or the same as finishing a standard printed house, a standard built house?
Okay, there is not one single answer to that question, because it really depends a lot on what we are comparing with. It also depends on how we printed it. Now, we have a technology by which we can apply flaps. So so we can smoothen out the walls more. Okay. And that obviously makes the finishing much easier. But we also have customers that perfectly liked that you can see that it's 3D printed and prefer that it stays like that, so they don't do any finishing at all. So there is not one answer to that question, I'm sorry.
Fantastic. It's so much it's so similar, right, to 3D printed consumer parts in polymer 3D printing.
Yeah.
There are people that actually like the fact that you can see it's 3D printed. So now this is something that you already kind of answered, but I wanted to summarize. Like, what do you think are the biggest misconceptions and also the biggest challenges that still need to be addressed for this industry to, you know, continue to scale and evolve into a real market segment, a real production segment?
Sure. Oh, there's quite a lot of them. Well, one of the most dominating ones is because of, you know, very few companies have taken the approach that we have, where we are very honest, we share data, we share experiences, good as well as bad, and we tell you honestly what the technology can do. Most of our colleagues in the industry still favor telling these very, very exaggerated stories about what their technology can do or theoretically could do if everything was perfect that day and you know, they could travel to the moon at the same time. So there is still this misconception by a large share of the market that, wow, I can get a printer and I can do a house in 2 days, the first time I do it, and it's not going to cost me anything, right? So that's still a misconception. One of the other misconceptions is there's not really yet a true understanding of how much 3D construction printing actually can help to reduce the other cost related to doing a building, because we're not printing the entire building. That's clear, right? We're printing the walls, we might be doing the foundation,
right.
We can't print the slab and we can't print the roof. Sometimes it's done, sometimes it's not done, but you still have to, you know, put in doors and windows and the plumber, electricity, and so on.
Of course.
And what still is maybe the most difficult diffusion process for us to get people to learn and understand is how to use the printer so that you save on the following trades that comes in that are necessary, because the printers actually have that capability.
Yeah, sure.
So you prepare the walls such that the electrician doesn't have to do any cutouts. It's already prepared. He just has to put in a socket, right? And things like that. And that's a fact that you can do that, but the market doesn't really understand it before somebody teaches it to them.
Absolutely, it's a lot it's very similar to the idea of design for additive manufacturing that we hear about in engineering. You know, you need to really take advantage of the technology. You need to design so that you can take advantage of it to the fullest. So,
and it's a good point to mention, because I would say that's the third misconception, because most, I would say 95% even, come with a conventionally designed building that has been made under the limitations, the many, many limitations of the traditional, conventional construction industry. And then they say, now, how much does it cost to make that with 3D printing?
Yeah.
And by doing that, by copying the mistakes and limitations of the past, we don't exploit the technology to the fullest. We don't get the full advantage of the technology. So this is one of the things we're also trying to teach our customers, is that start thinking additive from the beginning. Don't copy existing things, because you get many more advantages if you start thinking in terms of what is the printer capable of doing, instead of being limited what was possible conventionally.
And that's probably the hardest part to teach and to do, but as the next generations, you know, continue to familiarize, this is definitely the way to go, because I see the enthusiasm of everybody that learns about these possibilities. You know, then they decide, they understand that, you know, once they get to know them, that this is the future, they need to start to plan for it. So what is the future? How do you see, where do you see your company a few years from now? And what about this, the 3D construction printing segment in general?
Well, I see our company is much bigger than it is, with the tremendous growth journey we are on. We for sure will be a lot more people and a lot bigger in the years to come. We will still see a continuation of what we have seen so far. That means faster, better, bigger. So we will execute we'll have the ability, customers will have the ability to execute the project faster. They'll do them better. The technology will improve so that, for instance, the smoothness will improve. and bigger. So the projects will be bigger and bigger, as we have seen that what happened with our printers also, right? We went from one story to two story to three story. I think in a few years, and probably already maybe in a year or two, we're speaking about 6 or 7 story buildings. Wow. We speak about buildings that might be 25 meters in the width and 40 meters in the length. So 1,000 square meter per floor times 6 floors. So that's a 6,000 square meter building. That's what we are aiming towards, those large scale applications. And then we also see that the printer is doing more and more. So actually you can't call it a printer anymore. You should rather call it a multifunctional construction robot.
Right.
We actually delivered already a first prototype of a printer that can do more than printing. I cannot reveal the circumstances because it's under NDA and so on, but where we actually see that future already materializing now in the first deliveries of printers that can do, let's say, more functions than just printing. They have a couple of other functions that are as equally important for the customer.
Yeah, and honestly, it's incredible, you know, how fast your progress is and how many projects you've published and you and your clients have completed.
Because that's the difference. We don't complete them, right? It's because we have all these many partners, right? So we consider ourselves partners with our customers. So we teach them to technology, they start executing it. And since we don't have to run around and do everything ourselves, we will have all these companies working for us, you know, to benefit our technology, so to say, to apply our technology. Same goes within the materials. We have multiple materials corporations going on in order to improve the materials so that we get the right materials for 3D construction printing. So we're leveraging a lot of resources from a lot of companies in the way we have done our business model.
And that's really the only way to do it, because when you need to innovate and disrupt and really change an industry, it has to be a coordinated.
You need partners to help you, yeah. Because it's a giant, big industry. So, yeah.
Yeah, and the potential is huge. I don't know if you want to, we still have a couple of minutes. If you want to go over some of the projects that you are, you know, that are most interesting and you're most proud of, you know, by you and by your clients.
Yeah, no, obviously, like printing the windmill tower was one of them, but also Perry's, that was for GE, the windmill tower, obviously, but also the GE, Perry project of the three-story house. But you could say, this is just like, it's a temporary thing. We are very proud of it now, but then we'll be looking at, you know, 4 stories, 5 stories, 6 stories.
Yeah.
And, another project that's interesting is that 14 Trees that they built the first school in Malawi and the first house in Malawi. Then they printed a test house in Nairobi, Kenya, and then announced that they're going to do a multi-unit, I think it's 32 units, in Kilifi that's going to be printed. And we will see that more and more, that we go from one-offs to 30, 40, 100, 200 houses. And that's where we see the big potential also for the industry. So you can say, perhaps you can divide it when we look at the residential market. We can perhaps divide it into two, saying we have the large scale projects with very many units, hundreds of units, where low cost is the main key. And then you have the more fancy projects, like some of Perry's projects, where the printer's ability to give special shapes and form freedom, etc., is more. But that will be single pieces or double pieces, not 100 of these, right? So I think that's. But again, we see the majority of the interest is in the affordable housing more than in the unique pieces.
And that's really, you know, it's really fantastic, and also the fact that you know. From the beginning, this technology was introduced as a technology to make construction available even in poorer areas. But then if the materials cost a lot of money and you have to buy them, you know, and bring them there, it doesn't make sense.
you can forget it. So that's also why when we chose to launch this new solution, we did it in Angola, because there it really makes sense that you have no cost. Because if you had the mortar cost in Angola, you can just forget it. There's no market then.
Absolutely. This is very interesting. I have a lot of questions for you, but this is all the time we have for today. But I definitely would like you to invite you to follow up in the future as you continue to build the company.
You're always more than welcome to contact us.
Thank you very much for being with us today, and speak with you soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.